hot enough for you? So, it's been more than 5 years, way more than 5 years. It's been so long that Jack was still coming to this church when we started Samuel. Now that we've finally completed it and moved on to a new study, the Gospel of Matthew, before we get too far along into it, I thought we would talk about Matthew, but not the book, the man. And hopefully this will give you a better appreciation and understanding of the man and the book as we get into this study. Huh? More than 5 years. There's two books. Samuel consists of two books.
Yeah, I know.
And we've been going through it for more than 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's in church, in our regular services, in elder class, when we were doing morning Bible study with Jack before he retired, as it were. I mean, we were covering it in almost all of our studies. So, I want to use Matthew, we haven't gotten there yet, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13.
Let's go.
Huh?
Let's go there.
Okay, here. You want to go there? You want the mic? Okay. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. This is where we see Jesus called to the man called Matthew. Or in other places, he was known as Levi. No, he didn't invent blue jeans. When a person was taken kind of a harsh word, taken. He wasn't, I mean, even though there were taken people, those who served or begin to serve a new master usually receive a name from that master. And in this case, if you read an account in the Old Testament in the subjection of Israel by Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar gave the king of Israel a new name. Jesus gave Cephas the name Peter, and he probably gave Levi to Matthew to show that Levi, Matthew, had a new master. To show that Levi was no longer the tax collector, the kind of man that had been that he had been before, but was changed by his encounter with Jesus. This comes out of the book of Matthew because it's his own story. It's his testimony, as it were.
Yeah.
Quiet, here comes Bellin. Even though it's only five verses, a real short narrative, there is something of value here. We have in this man, Levi, an illustration of every one of us at one time or another. So, let's read Matthew 9, 9 through 13. Jesus calls Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in his tax collector booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. In Mark, there is a parallel passage. Mark 2:14. Jesus calls Levi. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Luke also names Matthew Levi. Matthew was most likely not too proud of Levi, the man he had been, and preferred Matthew, the man he had become. This is Matthew's personal testimony. Now just imagine him sitting and writing his own personal experience. As a tax collector, he was a man bitterly opposed, talked and gossiped about and hated, not by just a few, but by everyone. His place in Jewish society was non-existent as a tax collector. Most Jewish tax collectors were so detested that they were classified with the worst of the sinners. They collected tax for the Roman conquerors. They became wealthy by extortion, so wealthy that they were able to own large houses, large enough to handle huge crowds and large feasts. They were immoral, unjust, money-hungry, and worldly-minded. They cared more for possessions and wealth than for people. Through the years, they had become uninvolving, hard, difficult, bitter, and worst of all, without love, purpose, meaning, and significance in life. This is, of course, so much more. There is, of course, so much more. Yet Matthew covers all this in just a few simple verses. What is so gripping and heartwarming is that Matthew shares his own personal experience, his own conversion, as it were, in one simple verse. And then he moves on to show how Jesus came to save sinners such as himself. If you were to read Luke 19, we're not going to, of course, not the whole chapter, you'd find the story of another tax collector's conversion, Zacchaeus. In that story, we see the actions of a man after his conversion. But in Matthew's own story, he does not talk about himself, nor about the details of his sin. But he does lift up Jesus and the glorious salvation he came to bring. Jesus came to save all tax collectors and sinners such as himself. Jesus saw the man, a sinner who needed a savior. the people didn't see a man, but Levi, a tax collector for the Romans. They hated him and all other tax collectors. But Jesus saw the man. And in him was the man Matthew. Jesus saw a man. Jesus saw where he was sitting and what he was doing. He saw everything about him. He saw his heart, his mind. He saw his pain. And what, he saw his loneliness. He saw his lack of purpose and meaning in life. Jesus saw a man who needed a Savior. Does any of this sound familiar in your own life? We were all Levi's. Jesus saw our heart, our mind, our pain, our loneliness. Jesus saw our lack of purpose and meaning in life. Jesus saw a person who needed a Savior. Jesus called the man. For Levi, Jesus dramatically said, "Follow me." It must have been very forceful and to the point. It seems that there were no questions asked, no hesitations, no doubts, no allowances, no half-heartedness, no delayed decisions. It was forceful and to the point. Levi was to follow immediately without hesitating. It was immediate and total commitment or nothing. Jesus calls each one of us in a manner fitting of our individuality, age, gender, and upbringing. Jesus saw a person and called that person to himself. Levi, you and me. And Levi closed up his office and followed Jesus. Levi became Matthew. And in verse 10, Matthew became an evangelist. The outcasts of society usually band together. We see this even today. The homeless seem to gather together in local areas. They benefit from company and information among the others. These were the people that Matthew could call acquaintances. Maybe even a couple of friends, other tax collectors, prostitutes, alcoholics, thieves. Thieves of all kinds. From time to time, we hear statistics about how people first come to church. What brings them into church? What convinces them to become a member of a church, as it were? And the answers, 2% had a special need. 3% just walked in. 6% was because of the pastor. 1% were just visiting. 5% was because of a Sunday school. 5% were on some sort of evangelical crusade, as it were. 3% were because of some special program. And 79% were because somebody invited them. Sometimes there's a problem when we have been Christians for some time. We have naturally narrowed our circle of friends to Christians. Talking about our faith is not a problem. Inviting people to church is not a problem. We are just alienated from non-Christians. and yet we are still admonished in 2 Timothy 4:5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. And fully carry out the ministry God has given you. So, back at Matt's house, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" It was Jesus who observed, "Woe to you teachers of the new, woe of you teachers of the law, you hypocrites. You give a tenth, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." We really should examine Jesus' example here. Jesus went where the sinners were. He did not avoid them or shy away from them. He sought them out. Sinners felt comfortable coming to him. They did not shy away, nor did they feel unwelcome. Jesus had meals with sinners, immoral people, whom society and religionists rejected and avoided. Jesus and sinners were close friends. So let's look at the scene here. There was a large feast and a party of immoral characters, and Jesus was right in the middle of them. Of course, the purpose of the feast was for Jesus to bear witness. This was important. We are to be out in the world witnessing to sinful men, but we are not to be of the world. The Pharisees saw Jesus with these sinners. Someone is always looking. Satan is always seeking ammunition to destroy your ministry. The Pharisees saw Jesus with these sinners and were asking, "What's a good Jewish boy doing with these people?" It takes guts to be a friend of the friendless. Matthew wanted his old acquaintances to come to know Jesus, and Jesus wanted them to come and follow him, just as Matthew did. But the Pharisees found a good Jewish boy's acceptance of these people something to be condemned. Their prejudice was something Jesus could not abide. Some say that they were people of conviction, but some convictions are nothing more than prejudices. Some call themselves Christians, will not fellowship with others who do not worship in the same manner. Is this love? Or is it being pharisaical? The church doesn't need Pharisees. The church needs more Christ-like people. So when Jesus heard what the Pharisees were asking about him being there, of course he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture." He's trying to convince the religious leaders, loosely termed there, of their hypocritical nature. He's trying to change them. "For I have not come to call those who think they are religious, but those who know they are sinners." So, Jesus isn't visiting the Pharisees and having meals with them. even though they are sinners, but they didn't think they were. They believed they were not to use the same word, but they believed they were better than everybody else, even though Jesus knew different. I didn't want to say righteous because they weren't. Jesus never attacked the sinner. He simply said, "I forgive you." Meanwhile, he attacked the self-righteous with a vengeance. The Pharisees. Because he knew that until they felt guilty, they couldn't be forgiven. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the thieves, these people knew they needed forgiveness. This was not something the religious elite would give. This was something only someone who loved them could give. This was Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus does not call the self-righteous and the self-satisfied. They feel they are good enough to be acceptable to God. Oh, woe is them. Jesus calls the sinners to repentance, the ones who are deeply aware of their need for a Savior. The call of Jesus is to repentance and to a changed life. Think about the people Jesus calls. The person who is spiritually sick, the person who needs mercy, the person who is a sinner, the person who needs to repent. Jesus receives the following persons: the person who knows that he is spiritually sick, the person who acknowledges his need for God's mercy, the person who confesses that he is a sinner, the person who truly repents. That was Matthew. That was you and I at one time. I'm sorry, I'm not interrupting you, am I? Matthew, have the opportunity to reach out to those around us with the gospel of Christ. Well, if it ain't one, it's the other. Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody?
I put mine on silent. I mean, out of respect for the Word of God. Hey! Love you guys. Carry on.
Good, good. Let's pray.
That's it.
Heavenly Father, thank you once again for another day and another chance to come together in your name to study your Word. Thank you for this church and the faithful people in it. We pray for your healing hand. We lift up everyone on the prayer chain in need of your healing. We pray that, like Matthew, we can all answer your call. We can all just get up and follow you without question. That we can bear witness to those who know they need you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.